New York has certainly had a rough go of it throughout this pandemic, and finally some help is on the way, with President Biden signing the federal COVID relief bill just yesterday. But could it be too late? Nearly one in four CEOs on Long Island say their businesses may not survive the pandemic. That's according to a Siena College poll released this week, alongside the Long Island Association, which is a regional economic development group.
It's a hard enough struggle for them to survive. And if more businesses are leaving the state, that means fewer jobs and a worse business climate. And if more affluent people are leaving the state because, you know, they can pay less in income taxes in other states and still be able to be productive and happy, that's going to hurt everybody here. We need their tax revenue.
Matt Cohen is the group's spokesperson. He says 44% of executives surveyed want efforts to raise taxes in New York to be put on hold to allow for businesses to come out of the pandemic stronger. If not, the poll shows that 29% of CEOs say they are likely to leave their New York residence, and 19% would move their businesses out of the state. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region. Coming up, building pressure for Governor Cuomo to resign. We continue our coverage of police reform plans in Suffolk County. And could Connecticut be returning back to normal life soon? I'm Sabrina Garone. Pressure on Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign from office reached an even higher level of intensity today, as nearly all of New York's congressional delegation called on the governor to leave office after allegations of sexual harassment and bullying behavior. But the governor remains defiant, casting doubts on the motives of his now six accusers, as well as the elected officials who are asking him to leave. Karen DeWitt has more.
In addition to the members of Congress, all of the 43 Democratic state senators have called for the governor's resignation, as well as dozens of Assembly Democrats. The Assembly Speaker, Carl Hastie, has authorized the Judiciary Committee to begin an impeachment investigation. But Cuomo, in a conference call with reporters, says he still has no intention of leaving. He portrayed himself as a victim of cancel culture.
People know the difference between playing politics, bowing to cancel culture, and the truth.
Cuomo also cast doubt on his accusers' intentions, saying there are often many motivations for making an allegation, and he condemned the more than six dozen Democratic politicians who have called on him to leave.
Politicians who don't know a single fact, but yet form a conclusion and an opinion, are, in my opinion, reckless and dangerous.
The governor expanded on a denial that he first made on February 28th when he said he did not sexually harass anyone. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
The Suffolk County Police Department released a 1,000-page reform plan that fell short because of the basic hope advocates had: less police interactions with the community. WSHU's Charles Lane reports.
The plan did not propose key changes reformers wanted, such as ending pretextual stops, no-knock warrants, or removing police from schools. However, advocates did applaud the county's acknowledgement that disparate policing in Black and Latino communities happens. The plan said that while not all opinions of the reform task force could be adopted, it received a consensus of all members that it was the best achievable plan at the moment. The largest proposed change includes banning consent-only searches during traffic stops, which Police Commissioner Geraldine Hart said led to unequal policing in communities of color.
We believe that this will go very far to address what we saw as the post-stop inequities in search data of individuals that were stopped.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo ordered all police departments in the state to review and reform their policies and engage with community groups during the process. He ordered this 9 months ago. The plan was not released until moments before public hearing. Large topics of change were left undiscussed until this week. The plan tasks the county's Human Rights Commission with receiving and, quote, reviewing complaints of police misconduct. It proposes increasing the budget of the commission. However, the power to investigate and discipline police misconduct will still reside with the police. Terrell Dozier, a police reform advocate, says this will do nothing to hinder police from policing themselves.
This idea erodes the fundamental trust that communities have in their law enforcement agencies. In the court of law, we would never allow a jury to be made up of an alleged perpetrator's family.
Officials also proposed equipping all police officers with body cameras, but said the costs are unknown and negotiations with the police unions are still ongoing. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
Connecticut has been easing up on coronavirus restrictions, but has it all been happening too fast? We'll get to that story in just a bit, but first headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Looking to get the COVID vaccine? Here's the latest on how you can do that. New Yorkers 60 and over and government and nonprofit workers are eligible for the vaccine. Those with underlying conditions, first responders, teachers, and public transit, grocery store, and restaurant workers are also eligible in New York. Appointments can be made online using the Am I Eligible app and by phone at 833-697-4829. Connecticut residents 55 and over, and teachers and child care providers are eligible for the vaccine. Schedule an appointment online at ct.gov/COVID vaccine or by phone at 877-918-2224. Nearly half of Connecticut residents who have received their first COVID shot have yet to receive a second dose. The state has administered more than 1.2 million vaccines so far. Figures released by the state show that over 800,000 people have received at least a first dose of either the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, while just over 400,000 have received their second dose. The data shows a little more than 12% of the state's population has been fully vaccinated, while about 24% have received at least one dose. CDC data says that Connecticut sits right at the national average for the percentage of the population that's been fully vaccinated. In Connecticut, 65 goats were seized on Wednesday from a Reading property by the Department of Agriculture. Last year, department officials began an investigation into the property after it had received complaints about injured goats and general care issues. The department says the investigation is still ongoing, but found evidence of poor treatment such as excessive manure, lack of sufficient water, and more. According to Reading's zoning laws, only 9 goats should have been allowed on the property. The owner has filed an appeal against Reading's Zoning Board of Appeals and a complaint against the town. The goats are now receiving care from a state rescue and rehabilitation facility until the case is settled. Several states have raced to ease pandemic restrictions as COVID-19 infections continue to drop across the country. Connecticut is no exemption. Governor Ned Lamont has reduced restrictions but won't drop the mask mandate just yet, while the state tries to vaccinate as quickly as possible. WSHU's Ebong Udama brings us the story as part of the podcast Capitol Avenue.
The latest CDC guidance says fully vaccinated people can gather without wearing masks. But federal health officials caution about states lifting restrictions too quickly. This is not the first time Lamont has not stuck to CDC guidelines. Last month, he decided to go out on his own and distribute the COVID-19 vaccine mainly by age.
Get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we can, especially those age-related who are much more likely to suffer complications and fatalities. Get the shots in the arm as fast as you can.
At the same time, Lamont will now allow restaurants to open at full capacity beginning March 19th, and large entertainment venues would be allowed to open their doors in April. A crucial part of Lamont's rollout plan has been trying to reach out to underserved Black and Latinx communities in Connecticut's larger cities. To do that, Lamont has solicited the aid of Black and Latino clergy. The Reverend Carl McCluster is the senior pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church in Bridgeport. He says there's vaccine skepticism in the community that has to be countered.
Not getting the vaccine is putting yourself at mortal danger right now. Taking the vaccine is protecting yourself and your family.
McCluster spoke at a vaccine clinic at St. Vincent's Medical Center in Bridgeport, where he and eight fellow Black and Latino clergy in the city had come to get their shots.
It is time for us to fight the fear of taking this vaccine, to fight the fear of COVID, and emerge boldly as a community and as a people to rise up and take back our lives and to take back our lifestyle. And for us, it begins right here with these COVID shots today.
Lamont says the state has set up mobile clinics to get the vaccine into their communities.
We're going to bring them right to your churches. Make it easy for people. If they can't get to St. Vincent's, we'll come to you.
Lamont's plan could be slowed down by either not having enough doses or failure to overcome the reluctance of some communities to get vaccinated. State figures showed this month that only 6.9% of Connecticut's Black and Latinx residents had taken their first shots of the vaccine. That's compared to 16% of white residents. 78-year-old Bridgeport resident Christy White and her two sisters, who are in their 80s, were among the first in line to get their shots.
Too many of our people are passing away because they not listen to the scientists and doing what they say. So that's why we came to take the shot, and we are very pleased.
Hartford Healthcare CEO Jeffrey Flack says they have the capacity to do 80,000 vaccinations a week, but at the beginning of March, the hospital system was only doing about 12,000 from the federal government supply.
So we have significant capacity beyond what we're presently doing. Our only rate-limiting factor is the amount of vaccine we get in many ways.
The Johnson & Johnson one-dose vaccine coming on stream this month means the vaccinations have been stepped up.
Our ambition is to make it as easy as possible to ensure that no community is left behind.
Connecticut expects to cover most residents 55 and up, as well as teachers and childcare providers by the end of the month. Eligibility will expand to residents 45 and older by March 22nd, then those 35 and over next month, and people 16 and up in May.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford Healthcare. WSHU depends on listeners to give us news tips and to share our stories. You can also help us by becoming a member. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great weekend, and don't forget to set your clocks forward.